the rest of the story. Very few literary editors in all the world were as skilled as he. Yet the project which lay before him seemed too arduous for any one man. It was a clean-up job, the censoring of a large collection of books. The volumes, it appears, were laden with vulgarisms and casual references to sexual anatomy and behavior and crude descriptions of bathroom functions. So the editor embarked upon the enormous project, knowing that nothing like it had ever been attempted, believing with all his heart that nothing could be more desperately needed. The volumes to be censored, 66 of them, had already been bound into a solitary book, a tome popularly known as the King James Version of the Holy Bible. Now this is the rest of the story. It was a solemn and sincere effort on the part of the editor, justifying his literary mission. He wrote these words, quote, "The language of the scriptures ought to be pure and chaste, simple, free from any words or phrases which may excite observation by their singularity, neither debased by vulgarisms nor tricked out with the ornaments of affected elegance," end quote. In short, he believed that any words or phrases which could not be repeated in polite company had no place in the Bible, and so he set out to eliminate them. But was that not tampering with divine inspiration, some people argued? No, he answered, there was no such thing as a divinely inspired translation, and that's all the King James Version was, one translation from the original languages which comprised God's own word. Now, quite in fact, there were passages from the King James which I would not be permitted to quote over the air. I'm thinking of one parallel passage in particular from 2 Kings 18:27 and from the book of Isaiah 36:12. And yet, this Bible editor's concept of crudity was broader than that. He considered the term whore offensive, especially in children. Also, the other words which he euphemized. And since he was also a scholar in Latin and Greek and Hebrew, he took it upon himself to correct the King James in matters of definition, grammar, and syntax. For example, the King James says in Matthew 16:13, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, the editor corrected that to read, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" There's also a King James phrase, "Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel," which should read, "Strain out a gnat," and the editor changed that also. In fact, there were so many changes that half a century would pass before the editor was finished. At last, he declared, sensitive, civilized men and women could read the Bible without fear of embarrassment. He was absolutely certain of this. Of all that he had done in his life, this, he was sure, was his noblest, his crowning achievement. But he was wrong. Relinquishing all royalties, he was able to sell copies of his censored, corrected Bible at only $2 apiece, and still the public failed to respond. They liked the Bible the way it was, a bit smudged and tattered perhaps, but comfortable. And so this gifted editor was plunged into dismay and disillusionment with the realization that if the world were to remember him, it would not be for his rewriting of the Holy Bible, which is so. But the world would remember him for what he considered a lesser accomplishment called the English Dictionary. You only thought you knew Noah Webster. Now you know the rest of the story.